welcome to the Deep Dive.
Good to be here.
So, today we're tackling something pretty vital, actually. Navigating the legal system.
Yeah, it's a big one and increasingly complex.
Exactly. We've gathered a lot on legal expense insurance, LEI for short.
Right.
And our mission really is to give you a clear picture of why this is becoming such a crucial tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, costs and complexity just shooting up.
It's true. Think of it as a way to manage that. This is kind of your shortcut to getting up to speed.
Okay, so let's unpack it. What does LEI really cover? Because it's not just like courtroom drama. Right.
Not at all. A lot of modern plans really focus on prevention first.
Prevention. How so?
Well, things like getting legal advice up front, having documents reviewed before you sign them.
Okay. Stopping small things from blowing up.
Precisely. It stops them becoming huge, expensive problems. Then, yeah, there's the other side. Coverage for lawyer fees, court costs, if you do end up in a covered situation.
You mentioned digital tools.
Yeah, that's a big growing part. Digital tools, specialized support for things like identity theft fallout or maybe guidance for small business issues. It's evolving.
Okay, let's get into this increasing need you mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, costs for everything are up, but legal help. Wow.
Tell me about it. The average lawyer, what, $350 an hour nationally in 2024?
Right, and that's the average in big cities.
Oh, easily $500 plus per hour. It's prohibitive for so many people.
And it's not just the price tag, is it? It's the sheer number of laws, regulations.
Absolutely. It's overwhelming. And that creates what people call the justice gap.
Explain that a bit.
Well, you have folks middle income earners, right? They make too much for legal aid, the free stuff.
But not enough to easily afford $500 an hour.
Exactly. So they get caught in the middle, often without help. Plus, just the sheer frequency of needing some legal help seems to be rising.
Yeah, it's not always massive lawsuits. It's like needing a will.
Or a dispute with your landlord, consumer rights issues, everyday stuff.
And the digital world adds another layer, doesn't it? Privacy concerns, data breaches.
Constantly. New potential legal pitfalls popping up all the time.
And then the pandemic's aftermath.
Oh, yeah. New issues around employment, housing, how businesses run.
It's a lot.
Okay, the stats here really paint a picture. This is where it gets, well, quite stark.
It really does. The Legal Services Corporation found, back in 2022, something shocking. 92% of civil legal problems for low-income Americans, they got inadequate help or none at all.
92%.
Wow.
But it's not just low-income, right?
No, not at all. An ABA survey, American Bar Association, in 2023, found 66%, two-thirds, of middle-income households had a legal issue in the last 2 years.
Okay, two-thirds had a problem.
But get this, only 28% actually sought professional legal help.
That's a huge gap. People are just going it alone or doing nothing.
Seems like it. And the issues are so common, things you mentioned, work problems, family law, housing, consumer stuff, money disagreement.
Relatable stuff, not abstract legal theory. Exactly. And think about small businesses. They face what? 3 to 5 legal disputes a year on average, often just trying to keep up with rules.
Right, and online. Identity theft.
Keeps climbing. The FTC saw over 1.4 million reports in 2023. That's up 9% from the year before.
And victims spend, was it hundreds of hours trying to fix it?
Average 175 hours, yeah.
Die.
Then there's basic planning, like wills.
Yes, the will statistic.
Around 70% of Americans don't have one. And the main reason cited...
Cost, I bet.
Cost, exactly.
That is stark. And when you see the actual price tags for common services, you understand the hesitation.
Right. An uncontested divorce, relatively simple, can be $4,000 to $8,000.
Just a basic word.
$300 to $1,000, maybe more.
Child custody modification.
That can easily run from $3,000 up to $15,000.
And if you have an issue at work, an employment dispute.
Could be anywhere from $8,000 to $30,000, yeah, potentially. You see why people might try to handle things themselves even when they shouldn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to legal expense insurance. It starts to look like a way to budget for the unpredictable.
That's the idea. It provides a mechanism to manage these potentially huge unexpected costs. And to really grasp how LEI helps, it's useful to look at, well, where it came from, how it's evolved.
Agreed. Let's do that. Where did this idea start?
Well, interestingly, it's not that new. The roots go back to early 20th century Europe, actually.
Europe, not the U.S.
Nope. France, 1911, started mainly focused on drivers, you know, legal protection for car accidents.
The specific common risk, Makes sense.
Yeah, and that pattern repeats today, with LEI tackling things like digital risks. Then in the 1920s, Germany developed broader policies, more comprehensive legal protection insurance. It spread from there.
So Europe was way ahead. What about North America? How did it develop here?
It was a different path. Here, it really started picking up in the 60s and 70s, mostly as prepaid legal service plans.
Often through unions or maybe employers?
Exactly. But they were usually more limited. Basic advice, maybe document prep, but not typically full representation like the European model.
So less insurance, more like a service subscription.
Kind of. It wasn't until 1979 that LEI was formally recognized as actual insurance in the U.S. The National Association of Insurance Commissioners, the NAIC, developed a model act to regulate it.
Okay, so a slower burn here.
Yeah.
How did it change from those early prepaid plans to what we have today?
We've seen definite phases. Europe's initial focus on specific risks, then the North American prepaid model.
Right.
Then the 80s and 90s saw more standalone LEI products emerge, and employer-sponsored group plans started becoming more common.
Okay.
The 2000s brought consolidation, more integration with other insurance, but the biggest recent shift, technology, the digital revolution.
Yes, impacting everything. How specifically has tech changed LEI?
Dramatically. Think virtual legal consultations via video. Suddenly, geography matters much less.
Right, accessibility goes way up.
Huge improvement. Mobile apps for policy details, contacting lawyers directly, even AI starting to handle initial questions.
AI legal assistants. Wow.
And online portals for managing documents, case info, securely.
Sounds super convenient. It's not just access to a lawyer, but the whole support system becoming easier to use.
Exactly. And that digital shift has streamlined document handling, too. Automated document generation, e-filing, secure cloud storage.
AI analyzing legal texts.
It's happening. Plus better legal research tools, predictive analytics, self-help guides online. Case management is getting digitized too, tracking, scheduling, all that.
Technology is definitely making legal help seem less intimidating and more efficient. Now, you mentioned North America's market is less developed than Europe's. Why the difference?
That's a key point. In Europe, LEI is much more mature. Penetration rates can be over 40% in some countries.
40%? Compared to what here?
Here, it's maybe 10-15%, and it's usually sold differently. In Europe, individuals often buy it directly, like car insurance, a standalone policy. Here, it's mostly offered through employers as a voluntary benefit.
Tied to your job benefits package.
Largely, yes. Also, the regulatory environment here is more fragmented state by state compared to more unified approaches in Europe.
Interesting. So the model is different, too, not just how it's sold.
Right. The North American model often focuses more on providing services through a specific network of lawyers rather than just reimbursing you for any lawyer you choose.
Like an HMO versus PPO for legal.
Sort of, yeah. And we see more membership or subscription style plans here. But here's the interesting part. While Europe's market is mature, maybe growing slower.
North America is where the big growth is happening now.
Exactly. Especially in digital delivery and integrating LEI with other benefits like identity theft protection.
So North America might be playing catch up, but maybe using tech more aggressively.
That seems to be the trend.
Who are the main companies involved in this space here?
It's a mix. You've got established insurance carriers like ARAG, MetLife Legal Plans, Legal Shield. They've been around.
Okay, the big names.
Then you have legal service providers like LegalZoom or Rocket Lawyer. They started more with online docs and expanded into plans.
Right, the tech-first companies.
Then specialized insurers focusing on niches like ID theft, legal help, or small business coverage. And employee benefits providers increasingly bundle it in.
So quite a diverse group. What's the market structure like? Lots of competition. Mergers.
We're seeing consolidation, definitely. Big carriers buying up legal tech platforms to boost their offerings.
Good sense.
Also, vertical integration providers trying to control the whole service delivery chain. And partnerships between traditional insurers and legal tech startups are common.
So it's active.
Very. The top few players have a big chunk, but there are still many smaller specialists. Employer benefits are still the main channel, but direct to consumer is growing.
It's clearly a dynamic area. Now, to really understand these plans, there's some jargon, right? Some specific terms we should probably know.
Absolutely. Like any insurance, it has its own language. You've got the basic names, legal expense insurance, group legal plans, the employer ones, and prepaid legal services plans, which might be more like memberships.
Okay. Different names for maybe similar things.
Sometimes. Then how they work. Indemnity plans pay you back for legal costs. access plans give you direct access to their network of lawyers.
And some mix them.
Yep. Hybrid plans, combining features of both.
Got it. What about terms for what's actually covered or not covered?
Key ones are covered risks, the specific legal issues the policy includes, and just as important, excluded matters, what it doesn't cover.
Always read the fine print.
Always. Many have waiting periods before certain benefits kick in, and pre-existing conditions, legal stuff that started before you got coverage, are usually out.
Like health insurance, yeah.
Similar idea. Then you have benefit maximums, the cap on what they'll pay. Sometimes service allowances, limiting how often you use a service, maybe deductibles or co-payments, though those are less common now.
Okay, standard insurance concepts mostly. What about terms for getting the actual legal help?
You'll hear network attorney or panel attorney. Those are the lawyers the plan has contracts with.
And if you use someone else?
That's a non-network attorney. Your coverage or reimbursement might be different, lower usually. But fundamental things like attorney-client privilege, that still applies with plan attorneys.
That's right.
And you'll see terms for services. Legal consultation, document review, representation hours for bigger cases.
So it mixes insurance terms with legal service terms.
Mm-hmm.
Any newer buzzwords reflecting how things are changing?
Definitely. You hear subscription legal services a lot now. Tiered coverage, where different plan levels offer more or less.
Like bronze, silver, gold plans.
Kind of. Maybe customizable benefits or add-ons like family coverage riders. For businesses, a business supplement, and if things go wrong, maybe an escalation protocol for complaints.
And with all the digital stuff we talked about, new terms there too.
Oh yeah. Virtual legal consultation, obviously. Digital document repositories for storage, electronic signature authorization, online case management.
Makes sense.
You might even see chatbot legal assistance for basic questions or talk of smart contract integration. On the service side, unlimited consultation options or an annual service allowance for tasks.
And for new risks.
Terms like cyber incident response or even social media liability coverage are starting to pop up in some LEI offerings.
It really is like learning a new dialect, but knowing these terms helps you compare plans, figure out what you're actually getting. Now, all of this must be regulated somehow, right? It's insurance, after all.
Absolutely. But it's primarily regulated at the state level in the U.S., which means...
They have to work a quilt of rules.
Exactly. It's complex. Each state decides how to classify LEI. Is it specific insurance, a prepaid plan, a service contract? That classification then dictates the licensing rules for providers and agents.
So a company operating nationally has to deal with 50 different sets of rules.
Potentially, yes. Or at least navigate significant variations. States also set financial standards.
Make sure the companies don't go broke.
Right. Minimum capital and surplus requirements, maybe 250K up to a million, depending on the state and the plan scope. Plus rules on premium taxes, risk-based capital, financial reporting.
And the policies themselves. The prices. Do states approve those?
Yes. Through form and rate filing rules, some states are prior approval, you need the regulator's okay before selling.
Others are faster.
Others are file and use, or use and file, different timing. Some just need informational filings. The goal is ensuring rates are fair and policies meet state rules.
What about protecting consumers? How it's marketed and sold?
Definitely regulations there. Rules against misleading advertising, requirements for clear disclosure of limits and exclusions.
Plain language.
Often, yes. Plain language requirements, and suitability standards, trying to ensure the plan fits the buyer's needs. Agents have to follow these too.
And if you buy a plan, what protections do you have?
Key things include free look periods, usually 10 or 30 days to cancel for a full refund, rules on how quickly claims must be paid, complaint handling procedures, limits on when insurers can cancel or non-renew your policy.
And these rules are evolving, especially with digital delivery.
Constantly. States are grappling with how to adapt.
You mentioned Wisconsin earlier as having a strong framework. What makes it stand out?
Wisconsin's often cited because its law is quite detailed. It defines LEI clearly, covers both indemnity and service models, has specific LEI licenses, capital requirements, controls for service providers.
And they're keeping up with tech.
Importantly, yes. They've updated rules to specifically address digital delivery, services across state lines, and enhanced consumer disclosures. They're trying to be proactive.
How do other states compare? Is it wildly different elsewhere?
Quite different paths. California focused mainly on group plans historically, now allowing individual ones, but with restrictions. Strong rules on choosing your own lawyer there, strict rate regulation. New York has detailed rules for specific legal service insurance corporations, big emphasis on consumer protection. Texas is more streamlined, file and use, separate rules for legal service contracts that aren't technically insurance. Florida even has a dual system.
Wow. Navigating that state-by-state complexity must be a major headache for national providers.
Huge challenge. Different classifications, different disclosure rules, different licensing, needing to tweak products for each state, plus the digital service delivery adds another layer.
So it's mostly state rules. Any federal laws that impact LEI?
Yes, especially for the group plans offered by employers. ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, applies to those.
ERISA, that covers things like pensions and health plans, right?
Exactly. It imposes fiduciary duties, reporting requirements on plan administrators. Also, Section 125 cafeteria plan rules affect using pre-tax dollars for LEI premiums.
That's how you be. Does that apply?
And maybe in limited ways around health info privacy. And the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, requires accessibility.
What about federal consumer protection laws?
They're relevant, too. Dodd-Frank created the CFPB, which could potentially oversee LEI marketing and disclosure. The Fair Credit Reporting Act matters for plans offering credit-related services.
Graham Leach Bliley.
For financial privacy, yes. And the FTC Act prohibits unfair or deceptive practices generally. So federal laws add another layer.
A multi-layered regulatory world. And with digital services booming, specific rules for that are emerging.
Definitely. Big questions around attorney licensing for virtual practice, practicing across state lines, keeping attorney-client privilege secure in digital chat.
Security standards, too, I imagine.
Huge. Digital communication security, e-signature validity, data breach notification rules, protecting consumers' online disclosures, click-wrap agreements, data privacy. It's all evolving fast.
Regulators trying to keep up with tech. What about when legal stuff crosses state lines? Interstate issues.
Adds more complexity. Can a lawyer licensed in one state advise someone in another via video chat? Usually requires licensing in that state.
Tricky for national plans.
Yes. There are reciprocity deals, temporary admissions, pro-hack vice, but it's a hurdle. Plus, navigating multi-state insurance regulation, getting authorized everywhere, adapting policies, even defining when online activity counts as doing business in a state.
Sounds like a maze. Are there any efforts to make these rules more consistent across states?
Some initiatives, yes. The Interstate Insurance Product Regulation Commission tries to streamline product filings for participating states. The Uniform Law Commission creates model laws states can adopt.
The NAIC helps, too.
The NAIC works on standard frameworks, and sometimes there's talk of federal preemption, but that's usually controversial. For now, it's mainly state by state.
A complex web indeed. Okay, let's switch gears back to the actual services. We talked about prevention. Let's dive deeper into those prevented legal services. What exactly are they?
They're really core to the value of many modern LEI plans, helping you deal with potential legal issues before they become big, expensive fights.
Proactive legal health.
Exactly. Things like legal checkups, planning sessions, getting key documents created or reviewed professionally, wills, leases, contracts, getting advice before you act, accessing educational resources, even monitoring services for legal changes.
Sounds really useful. Like getting ahead of problems. How are these preventive services usually delivered?
Different ways. Some plans offer scheduled checkups, like an annual physical. Others give on-demand access whenever you need it.
Bundles for life events.
Yeah, maybe a package for buying a home or starting a business. Tiered access, depending on your plan level. And increasingly, risk assessment tools suggesting relevant preventative steps.
So it's not just reactive. What are the real benefits of using these?
Potentially huge savings. Good planning, solid documents that can avoid costly litigation later. You spot problems early when they're easier to fix.
Peace of mind, too.
Definitely. Getting expert guidance for big decisions provides financial protection and, yes, peace of mind knowing your affairs are in order.
And the scope is growing beyond just wills and basic advice.
Absolutely. We're seeing guidance on managing digital assets now, help with data privacy compliance, basic IP protection advice, support for remote work issues, even navigating social media legal risks.
Adapting to modern life. One specific service gaining steam is remote legal consultation. How's that working in LEI?
It's become fundamental. Huge convenience, much broader access, delivered through secure video, phone calls, secure messaging, email, even live chat for quick questions.
What tech is crucial for making that work well and securely?
Security is number one. End-to-end encryption is a must. Strong ID verification for both you and the lawyer. Secure document sharing, maybe recorded sessions, but only with explicit consent. And it needs to work on different devices, different internet speeds.
What kind of service standards can you expect? Response times? Limits?
Often, yes. Service level agreements might guarantee response times. There could be limits on consultation length or frequency. Clear definitions of what's suitable for remote versus in-person. Protocols for follow-up and conflict checks are also important.
How do plans ensure the quality of this remote advice?
Usually through strict qualification standards for their network attorneys, matching you with lawyers who have the right expertise, monitoring client satisfaction, doing service audits, tracking performance metrics like response times and resolution rates.
And how does remote consultation fit with other LEI services?
It's often the first step. If more is needed representation, specific actions, there are pathways to escalate. It links nicely with document review. The lawyer can see documents you've uploaded, and it might lead to recommendations for other preventative services.
Sounds very efficient for getting initial guidance. Another big preventive piece, digital document review. How does that work?
It lets you upload documents, contracts, leases for an attorney to check without an appointment.
Who does the review? A person.
AI.
Could be a human lawyer, increasingly AI assisting a lawyer, or hybrid systems. Some platforms even allow collaborative review where you and the lawyer work on it together online.
What tech makes that possible? Secure uploads for various file types, version control to track changes, annotation tools for lawyers to flag issues and suggest edits, collaborative features, maybe integration with e-signature tools for finalizing.
Are there limits? Like, can I upload a 500-page merger agreement?
Probably not. Usually limits on page count, turnaround time standards, maybe limits on how often you use it, or the types of documents covered, focusing on common agreements, not super complex ones. Might depend on the governing law mentioned in the doc, too.
What do you get back after the review?
Typically, a report identifying potential issues or concerns, risk assessment of specific clauses, suggested changes, or alternative wording.
Plain language explanations.
Ideally, yes. Explanations of complex legal terms. And the lawyer should be available for questions about their review, maybe even guidance on negotiation strategies.
Super helpful before signing anything binding. Then there's electronic document preparation. How's that different?
This is about creating documents. LEI plans often give access to professionally drafted templates you can customize.
Using software.
Yeah, template customization tools, user-friendly document assembly software, sometimes AI-powered drafting, maybe with attorney review available after. Some allow collaborative drafting with a lawyer, too.
What kinds of documents can you usually create this way?
Common ones are estate planning docs, wills, powers of attorney, some family law forms for simple, uncontested matters, basic business formation docs like LLC agreements, standard real estate leases, various personal or small business agreements.
What's the process like for a member using this?
Varies. Some are self-service. You answer questions, it generates the doc, you can request review. Others involve more attorney guidance during creation, might use interactive questionnaires. Some plans help revise docs you already have.
How do they ensure these generated documents are actually good and legally sound?
Good systems customize based on the right jurisdiction's state law matters. They aim for plain language, clear instructions on signing and implementing correctly, secure storage and access, maybe even alerts if laws change affecting your docs.
Quality control.
Often involves attorney review steps, automated compliance checks in the software, regular system testing for accuracy and legal updates.
Sounds like a much easier way to handle common document needs. With all this remote stuff, what about getting things notarized? Virtual notarization.
That's definitely becoming a bigger deal. Remote online notarization, or RON. You notarize documents via live video with a licensed notary. There's also iPen, in-person electronic notarization, and iron remote ink-signed notarization. These often use strong ID checks, like analyzing your driver's license remotely, knowledge-based questions.
Is this legally accepted everywhere now?
It's evolving, but gaining acceptance fast. Many states authorized RON, especially after the pandemic pushed remote needs. There are efforts to standardize it, like RULONA, the revised uniform law on notarial acts. But recognizing out-of-state remote notarizations is still a developing area.
How do LEI plans offer this? Do they have their own notaries?
Often they partner with established notary networks, providing access through their platform. Usually include scheduling tools, the secure tech platform needed, and ensuring the process is recorded and certified correctly under the rules. Ideally, it integrates smoothly with their document prep tools.
Security must be huge here, too. Signing legal docs remotely.
Paramount. Multi-factor authentication, secure video recording, tamper-evident tech on the documents, digital certificates, secure storage of records, all crucial safeguards.
What kinds of documents can typically be done this way, through an LEI plan?
Depends on state law and the platform. Common examples. Some real estate docs, though maybe not all everywhere, estate planning docs, wills, POAs, again, state rules vary, business docs, financial agreements, some family law papers.
A major convenience, especially if getting to a physical notary is tough. Okay, lastly, let's talk about AI. You mentioned AI-assisted legal guidance. How's AI being used?
In several interesting ways. Legal chatbots for basic info, FAQs, AI tools analyzing documents to flag key clauses or risks.
Predictive tech.
Yeah, estimating likely outcomes for certain situations, AI helping with basic legal research or guiding users to the right legal forms. Often it's AI plus human lawyers, a hybrid model.
What are some practical examples a member might see?
AI could do initial issue triage. Do I even have a legal problem here? Offering 24/7 access to basic legal info, guiding you through self-help resources, delivering personalized legal education, helping draft simple documents via guided forms. Flagging situations needing a human lawyer's eye.
Sounds very efficient. But what are the risks, the limitations?
Crucially, AI isn't a lawyer. It can't replace nuanced human judgment or strategy, so safeguards are vital. Clear rules against the unauthorized practice of law.
Escalation triggers.
Exactly. Complexity thresholds where it must go to a human. AI needs training for specific state laws, and transparency users need to know they're talking to AI, not a person. Plus, addressing data privacy and potential algorithmic bias.
How do providers ensure the AI's advice is actually accurate and good quality?
Should involve ongoing attorney oversight of the AI development, regular validation of the legal content it spits out, using user feedback to improve it, rigorous accuracy audits, testing with complex scenarios, continuous learning to keep it updated with new laws and cases.
So AI has potential, but human oversight and safeguards are key. Well, this has been incredibly insightful, a real deep dive into how legal expense insurance is evolving.
It really has. We've seen how it's adapting to rising costs and complexity, offering a way for people and businesses to manage those legal challenges.
And it's fascinating that even with market growth projected to hit nearly $19 billion by 2028, North American penetration is still relatively low compared to Europe. Lots of room to grow, it seems.
Huge potential, yes. As awareness increases and the variety of plans, individual, group, business, plus the slicker digital delivery, virtual consults, online doc prep, it's just becoming more accessible.
So wrapping up, it really makes you think, doesn't it? How LEI could provide some financial predictability, some peace of mind for future legal bumps in the road.
Especially given those stats we talked about how common legal issues are and how often cost stops people getting help.
Definitely something worth exploring further. Based on your own situation and what kinds of legal needs you might anticipate down the line.